You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Bill Shea's been covering the business of sports in Detroit as a reporter for many years with Crane's Detroit Business. Well, now he is moving to the sports site, The Athletic, not to cover strikes and hits and scores and wins, but to cover sports business, media, and law for the Midwest. Why is it important to cover not just a team's wins and losses or the players, but what's happening in the front office and the industry of sports? Bill Shea's with us now. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
There are people listening to us talk right now who kind of just shrug, don't particularly care about wins and losses in sports, let alone any of the glitz and glam of professional sports teams and the athletes. Should people be paying attention to the industry, the business of sports?
Yeah, I think they should, especially because in tax dollars often find their way to the pockets of professional sports teams and their billionaire owners. And I think it's good for people to pay attention to, you know, what's going on around them in their communities. And you never know how you're going to be affected. And sports are often, petri dishes for new technologies and things like that, that extend eventually to other aspects of people's lives. You know, paperless ticketing for events. Well, I think we're going to see that sort of technology expand into other things in your everyday life, where you're not necessarily a fan of any team or stick and ball sports or anything, but things that were born out of the sports industry will eventually work their way into everybody's lives.
So explain this new direction that you're going to be doing for The Athletic.
Well, it's something they launched on Monday. They've been around for a few years, and you know, they're a subscription-based sports site with the intention of providing sort of in-depth, explanatory, unique journalism that you really can't get from newspapers and other sites or your ESPNs. And on Monday, they rolled out a new media unit that's going to cover the business of sports, sports media, and sports law.
All of those elements that you mentioned, media and business and all kinds of elements, were wrapped up in a story that you broke earlier this year with Crane's about the lack of progress that the Ilitch family has made in building up that District Detroit, the one they promised to rehab with tax incentives and build new life around the new Little Caesars Arena. Bill, is that a story that would have gone missed by other media outlets, or were you able to get to it more quickly because you cover the industry in this way?
Well, I definitely like to think we got to it more quickly. There's other people have written variations of that, but because myself and others at Crane's were so deeply vested in that story for a long time and covering the incremental pieces of that, we were able to put together the journalism that I think really told the story of what happened, what hasn't happened, and why it matters.
And I'm wondering what you think of the work surrounding District Detroit, because a lot was promised by a very, very wealthy, prominent family, and they still have not built the apartments and the storefronts and all the things they said would come with the Little Caesars Arena. Do you think stories like yours put pressure on them to actually complete the work they promised?
Well, I certainly hope so. Accountability is a big part of why I do what I do, you know, holding the powerful and the wealthy accountable, especially, you know, when they ask for and get public money. Well, then there's the expectation of, hey, you said you would do this thing. If not into the letter of the law, you at least showed the public all of these pictures, and in return for this money and support and continued support, you would build all these apartments and offices and parks and restaurants and bars, or cause other people to build them. And it really hasn't happened yet.
No, instead we've got parking lots, lots of parking lots.
Parking lots and garages. That's certainly, those promises are kept. But I hope what we had done and what some other media outlets have done have sort of, if not inspired the Ilitches to uphold their promises, to inspire those who can keep them accountable to those things, especially when they come asking for more money from the public in the future, that they can say, hey, you know, you didn't deliver on this, and here's these stories outlining why. You know, we maybe will, demand a better deal for the public with more accountability built into it.
And speaking of asking for money from the public, tax incentives for big sports facilities have gotten a lot of public scrutiny in this country in recent years, because there does not appear to be the return on investment that the benefactors claim, the jobs and the boost to the local economy. Is there still room to argue in favor of granting hundreds of millions of dollars in tax dollars to families like the Ilitches for sports facilities?
I think it depends entirely on what you believe the role of taxes in government are and sort of where you stand on the ideological spectrum with that sort of thing. I think almost all of these projects overpromise. Are like in the case of the District Detroit and Little Caesars Arena, there are more full-time permanent jobs created. At what cost, though, to the public is the question. And I think it's, sports team owners who come hat in hand saying, they're going to create all these jobs or they have to move the team unless they get a new stadium the public pays for these billionaires. I think it's very good that there's more scrutiny on that. There are now decades of academic literature that say, if you're looking for these as a winning lottery ticket, it really doesn't happen. I think there's other ways they could probably sell these. But the one thing is I've yet to see a compelling case or argument by a billionaire why they need public money. I get why they ask for it, because politicians are willing to give it to them. Nobody has ever shown me an actual need of like, hey, I need $500 million from the taxpayers.
Bill, as you know very well, sports are big business in Detroit, and we have big names attached to major franchises. We have the Ilitches with the Tigers and the Red Wings. You got the Ford family with the Lions. Dan Gilbert owns the Cleveland Cavaliers, but has sniffed around investing in perhaps a professional soccer team in Detroit. Is this normal in America's big cities to have the big power players in a city's financial and business sectors intersect with the local sports industry?
I think in some places it is. Detroit, it's an interesting set of circumstances that the small number of elite, ultra wealthy people who hold power, especially in the downtown, the central business district, happen to be sports team owners. As automotive receded in this city and was replaced, not completely, but in segments by other industries such as online mortgages, those folks as part of their portfolio had sports teams. I think you can find it in other cities, but Detroit, it is very, a prevalent case where your most elite wealthy individuals happen to own all four sports teams and maybe one day a fifth.
Bill, as you kind of dive into this work you're going to be doing at The Athletic, do you see opportunities to expand coverage to other complex social issues surrounding sports, such as Title IX in collegiate sports or drug use, issues like that?
Absolutely, because all of those things are part of the business of sports. They're interwoven in the labor agreements with the leagues and at the collegiate level. And my new colleagues are very interested. And I've done some of that in the past. The politics and social issues and how they affect. We saw a couple of years ago when the players kneeling in the NFL and the shockwaves that sent through pro sports and how teams and leagues and players handle these things, there's a segment of the public saying, stick to sports. We want an escape from that, but you can never really escape because sports are American culture. It's the mirror that we hold up and see. We reflect that, and they've always been like that. So I'm very excited to tell those or help tell those stories on gender and other diversity within hiring and coaching and front offices and. There's just an endless number of stories to tell out there.
Bill Shea, leaving Crane's Detroit business after 13 years. He'll be reporting on sports, business, media, law, and more for The Athletic. Thanks for spending time with us, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.